Is it on its side, or is it facing straight down?
Well, Bill, with respect to the lunar surface, it's on its side, and it's facing so that the feet of the astronauts inside are facing toward the line of flight.
That is a lateral line, roughly a lateral or an angle, isn't it?
Well, that's the. it's hard to explain, it's like they were laying on their sides.
Yes.
I guess you could liken it to that. Although, as far as they're concerned, they're standing in the spacecraft in a weightless condition. However, just as they start to burn that engine, they are no longer weightless. They will gain some weight from the thrust of the engine, and that will be thrusting, as they feel it, through their feet. The thrust then will be in the opposite direction from their line of flight, which will slow the spacecraft down such that they can land.
Bill, at about what point in this sequence will they get their first view of the lunar surface?
Well, at that time, when they ignite the descent propulsion system that second time for the powered descent, they will be looking at the lunar surface. However, just after the thrust begins, they will rotate such that they will be facing upward. And then when they reach what is called high gate at about 7,200 feet, the spacecraft will then be in such a position closer to the vertical with respect to the moon such that they can look out the windows and just catch a glimpse of the horizon. From that point on down, they will be seeing more and more of the surface until finally they see the landing site itself. As a matter of fact, at 7,200 feet, I think they'll be seeing more than the horizon. They'll begin to see the edge of the landing site. They'll see more of it as the spacecraft becomes more and more vertical. And when they get to about 1,000 feet, that's the point where they might even redesignate to land in a slightly different spot.
They will have the feeling, I suppose, when they are able to see the surface, of skimming over the surface of the moon, moving east to west, I suppose similar to a high-speed jet plane flight.
Yes, just as was experienced by the Apollo 10 crew, they will get that feeling just before they start the engine. And just after they start the descent engine. However, when they get down where they can see it the second time, they'll be considerably slowed down, so that things then will look maybe like an airplane coming in for a landing.
The last 150 feet perhaps would be more like the helicopter ride, is that right?
Very much like a helicopter ride, because they'll be coming down virtually in a vertical condition.
Well, Merle Waugh, when will the astronauts probably take over manual control? When do you think they will elect to do that in this descent phase?
Of course, that's going to be a decision that would have to be made as they progress down through their trajectory. And I would say it's possible they won't have to do much manual taking over until the final touchdown phase. The point being that there's no particular spot in that large area that they have to hit until they get down to where they can see local obstacles, and until that time they probably will not choose to take over manual control.
Now, they will have a form of semi-automatic control that Buzz Aldrin referred to in that interview a few minutes ago, at which time he can alter the thrust of the engine with a device that he has where he clicks, because there's a sound like a click as he moves this switch. He can click off changes in the thrust level such that he might slow up quicker or cease to slow down as fast, and thereby control his descent.
Let me ask this question. When we move down from the height of 15 kilometers, the 50,000 foot mark, this is an unknown flight. We haven't tried this yet. Is there a possibility of the gravitational pull of the moon, the irregularity in that, we call it mass con, affecting the accuracy of that descent? Merle Waugh?
There are theoretically some variations in the moon's gravitational pull that people are detecting. I don't believe that they're of the order of magnitude that we would notice them as far as this flight path, affecting this flight path. I would say that these kinds of differences are a much smaller order of magnitude than then will affect our ability to control this descent phase.
Well, then, Bill Land, there's no real worry about this problem, if you can call it a problem.
Well, Bill, we've seen the effect of the mass concentrations on two previous Apollo flights and on some lunar orbiter flights, which are unmanned spacecraft, and we pretty well understand them now. In fact, the last flight that we had of Apollo 10, we flew over this identical flight path and over this same site. And at that time, we did have a couple of minor surprises as a result of the concentrations of mass, and we have corrected this flight accordingly, so we expect to be right on the target when we come down this time.
In other words, those irregularities have been put into that computer on the way down and into your navigational plans.
That's exactly right. The effects of those have been cranked into our navigation.
Let's go back to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. All has been quiet so far from Apollo Mission Control. Check with Correspondent Rhett Turner for any further information.
As we've been listening for any more information from Apollo Control, as you say, all is quiet, and I've been looking over the ground track across the surface of the moon, which we're going to be describing in just a few minutes as the spacecraft descends. And for those of our listeners who may be watching maps of the moon, I'd like to describe what this path will be, and then possibly you can follow with us the final descent and touchdown. When they come into view and we get acquisition of signal within a few moments, we should see the spacecraft coming around the side of the moon in the vicinity of Smythe C, about 90 degrees east. That's about where the moon curves out of view from our view here on Earth. The track of the two spacecraft is almost across the lunar equator. From 90 degrees east, the two spacecraft will move very rapidly, just north of the craters Kastner, south of Napier, just above Gilbert, then just south of the Sea of Waves, and we should hear references to the foaming sea from the lunar module, from Eagle, as it is descending closer and closer to the surface. When it does come into view, it will already have descended quite a bit down from the 111-kilometer height down toward a low point of 15 kilometers before the powered descent initiation begins. And the spacecraft should be coming across the foaming sea right at about 65 degrees north, or 65 degrees east, and the powered descent will occur at 40 degrees east, right less than a half a degree above the lunar equator, just north of the crater Gutenberg. And if you have a lunar map, you may watch and just track with us. That final powered descent will begin just west of the Sea of Fertility, just north of the crater Gutenberg, and it will continue on to the touchdown spot, which is at 24 degrees east and less than one-half degree north. And now some of the names you'll hear us calling out are very familiar and colloquial names being used by the astronauts in the space program for their own training purposes. PDI will come right over a mountain near the crater Secchi called Mount Marilyn. Then we may hear a portion of the sea described as Weatherford. This is the hometown of astronaut Tom Stafford. Then they will pass over an area called the Cape. It looks very much like Cape Kennedy protruding. They will go over another area that looks very much like a cape sticking out into a sea, and this will be called Cape Venus. This will be about 40 seconds after the powered descent begins. Then they will go past some craters 1 minute into the burn called St. Teresa, across another area called Low Mesa and Lonesome Mesa, across Bear Mountain, and just as they go over another landmark called the Barbara Mesa, this is informally named for Barbara Cernan, Gene Cernan's wife, that will be 2 minutes into this burn. That's just near the formerly named crater Censorinus, one of the Censorinus group of craters. And the Gemini twins will be just to the north, 2 degrees north, as they pass the 2.5 minute mark. And then 3 minutes into the flight, or the powered descent, the spacecraft, the lunar module, is expected to go over the main Maskelyne crater, Maskelyne, and right over a landmark called Boot Hill. That's shades of the Old West there in that particular name. That must come from Tom Stafford's background. This flight, the flight of Apollo 11, is using landmarks informally designated by the Apollo 10 crew. They're using the same designations. They'll go past Snake Ridge, Wash Basin, Duke Island, and 4 minutes after the burn begins, they will go past a rill called Sidewinder Rill. It looks like a Sidewinder snake, and it extends on to the north just past the 27-degree east point along the lunar equator and becomes a thing informally called Diamondback Rill, past Maskelyne G and Fay Ridge. That Fay is the first name of Tom Stafford's wife. And at this point, they're getting very, very close to touchdown near the crater Moltke. And if we hear them talking about Sabine D and Sabine C and Sabine B, then they're right in the touchdown area, 24 degrees east, less than a half degree north. I thought I'd just run through some of the things you may be hearing, and if you, many of our listeners there, if you have a lunar map, you might have it out and ready with us. Bill McCrory?
A good rundown on the lunar surface, the map, the path that the spacecraft will be taking not very long from now, when they start that final powered descent for the landing on the surface of the moon. Now scheduled for about 20 hours 16 Greenwich Mean Time. Well, gentlemen, we did discuss, I think, almost every phase of this descent. I'd like to move, though, down to that point where they're just a few feet above the surface of the moon. The vision is not too good, is it, as the lunar module, Eagle, is upright with the those spider legs extended, the four of them prepared to touch down. Won't it be necessary, perhaps, to move laterally from side to side as they hover, Bill Lamb?
Well, Bill, as they descend, they'll be able to see forward because they'll still have some forward motion in those last 1,000 feet, such that they'll be able to look over the site at which they'll land. However, it is true that once they become perfectly vertical, that is, their descent is perfectly vertical, they won't be able to see below them, but they will have seen the site prior to that time when they were at a little greater altitude, and will at that time have decided whether they want to land there or not. So any redesignation that is done would normally be done at about 1,000 feet.
Here is Apollo Mission Control.
11. We're now 2 minutes 53 seconds from reacquiring the spacecraft, 21 minutes 23 seconds from the beginning of the powered descent to the lunar surface. It's grown quite quiet here in Mission Control. A few moments ago, Flight Director Gene Kranz requested that everyone sit down, get prepared for events that are coming, and he closed with the remark, good luck to all of you. Here in the on the front of our display boards, we have a number of big plot boards which will be used to keep track of the burn progress.
Got a mouth.
Among the more important of those is one which will show the performance of the onboard guidance systems, both the primary and the backup guidance system, and compare the guidance systems with the manned spaceflight network tracking. These displays, by the time this is all over, will look a good deal like a combination Christmas tree, 4th of July. We're now 1 minute 39 seconds from reacquiring the command module, Columbia. Acquisition of the lunar module will come a little less than 2 minutes after that. At the time we acquire the LEM, it should be at an altitude of about 18 nautical miles, descending toward the 50,000-foot Paracynthian, from which point the powered descent to the lunar surface will be initiated. If for any reason the crew does not like the way things look as they're coming across the Paracynthian, simply by not initiating the maneuver, they will remain in a safe orbit, 60 miles by 50,000 feet. And if they desired, they would be able to attempt the powered descent on a following revolution at a ground elapse time of about 104 hours, 26 minutes. We are now coming up on 30 seconds to acquisition of the command module. We'll stand by for that event.
That announcement there means that when we get acquisition of signal in just a moment, the lunar module should be down to an altitude of 33 kilometers above the surface of the moon, descending just 2 minutes behind the command module. The command module should be coming into view within the next 10 seconds. Let's bring up the mission control just slightly, and we may hear the signal when it comes in.
Network controller says we have acquisition of signal from the command module.
Command module is within view of the Earth again. 2 minutes later, we expect to hear from Eagle. No communication from Mike Collins there in the command module. We'll hear him if he says anything.
Houston, we're standing by, over.
That call from Mission Control to Mike Collins in Columbia. That wasn't Mike. About another minute and a half until the lunar module Eagle should come within range, some 33 kilometers above the surface. The command module is still
Columbia,
up there.
Columbia, Houston, over.
Another call to Columbia, to Mike Collins.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear. How many?
Watch bye-bye, Mike. How did it go, over?
Listen, Dave, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
Collins says everything is going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Okay, he's coming along.
We copy out.
Collins says he's on the way down. Everything went swimmingly, beautiful. That word from the command module.
And Columbia, Houston, we expect to lose your high gain sometime during the power descent, over.
Columbia, Roger, you don't much care, do you?
No, sir.
Let's see, we should be hearing from the LEM now. Should have acquisition of signal by this time.
Acquisition of signal from the LEM.
16 minutes until powered descent begins. A noisy signal coming in from space. Two spacecraft being tracked, and we're listening to the voice lines from both Eagle and Columbia. There should be a call any moment now to the lunar module Eagle. We can expect to hear Charlie Duke make a call to them from here in Mission Control. 15 minutes and 40 seconds until the powered descent begins. The spacecraft now.
Houston Eagle, how do you read? Bye bye, Eagle. We're standing by for your burn report, over.
That's Eagle calling in.
Roger, the burn was on time.
Aldrin.
Residuals before nulling. Minus 0.1, minus 0.4, minus 0.1. X and Z null to zero.
It's possible that the high-gain dish antenna drifted just a little there during that readback. It was locked on at first. Let's see how they can get it tuned back in again.
There was a very clear signal to begin with. You heard the voice of astronaut Buzz Aldrin as he called in, "Houston, do you read?" Boy, that's a very noisy
signal. We're attempting to restore antenna lock through the big 210-foot dish at Goldstone. We'll stand by.
That indeed is what has happened. Asking for, we just heard Houston say they'd lost data lock with the lunar module. There was another communication that sounded as though it came from Mike Collins at that point.
Eagle, did you copy, copy?
Eagle, Houston, did you call?
Looks like we've got the antenna locked back in again. Goldstone, California, the big 200-foot dish.
Houston Eagle, how do you read now?
Roger,
bye-bye, Neil. We copied up to the AGS residuals. Would you please repeat the AGS residuals in the trim correction of sun check? Over. Roger, AGS residuals, minus 0.1, minus 0.2, minus 0.7. And we used the things, down 86 for Delta VZ, which was 9.5. Versus yours, which is 9.1, and I believe that may explain the difference.
That's Buzz Aldrin.
Apogee, 57.2. Paraloon, 9.1. Sun check, the three marks. Down 20, minus down 22, plus 0.19, plus 0.16, plus 0.11. Over.
Right, copy. Looks great.
Everybody says it looks great here on Earth, and I believe that was Buzz Aldrin, the lunar module pilot.
Guidance says we're go.
That's the Guido, guidance officer, says we're go, continuing toward PDI, power descent.
12 minutes, 54 seconds to ignition.
12 minutes, 50 seconds until that PDI ignition begins.
Gene Kranz just advised his flight controllers we're off to a good start. Play it cool.
Very cool flight director in charge during this powered descent. 12 minutes and 30 seconds until ignition. There will be constant thrusting of the descent stage engine from PDI, from ignition, on down to touchdown. The big engine will begin firing at full force for the first few minutes of its descent. Then it will reduce thrust as it gradually slows down to a hover spot right over the touchdown spot.
12 minutes now until ignition for powered descent. Everything's still looking very good at this point.
They're aiming for a small landing footpad, as it's called, or footprint, that's some 2 nautical miles wide and about 8 nautical miles long. Just north of the lunar equator, 24 degrees east longitude. Eleven minutes, 30 seconds now until ignition. Another problem developing there with that signal. Problems with the signal coming back to Earth. I think we'll just have to turn that down for a while and hope we can bring it back up when the signal becomes strong again. Apparently, they're having some difficulty in keeping lock on the high-gain antenna on the lunar module.
We show the LEM at an altitude of 12.9 nautical miles and descending.
12 miles. Through the noisy signal, we can hear Mike Collins calling in with a comment there. Columbia just called in with a transmission. We could not read it, for the noise level is quite high there. You're listening to all of this communication. I'll try to relay it to you as we can interpret it. 9 minutes and 50 seconds until ignition for powered descent. This noise is the lock between the high-gain antenna on the lunar module and the large 210-foot dish at Goldstone, California, which is the main tracking antenna for this portion of the mission. Nine minutes and 15 seconds now until ignition. About 21 minutes until touchdown is expected.
Eagle, Houston, we had you now. You read over.
A call from Houston to Eagle.
Loud and clear. Roger, we see your verb 47.
See verb 47 in your computer. That was Eagle responding.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem was there. It just started oscillating around and yaw. According to the needle, we're picking up a little oscillation right now, as a matter of fact.
That's Buzz Aldrin, I believe.
Roger, we'll work on it.
Aldrin is referring to the LEM steerable antenna, that comment about the oscillations.
Roger, check was right on time.
Roger.
Did you copy the star, the sun check, Charlie?
That's affirmative, we did, Buzz, out.
You're listening to Buzz Aldrin in the lunar module, Eagle, talking to the ground, talking to the Earth, Charlie Duke, the capsule communicator in Mission Control Center. This broadcast coming to you worldwide through the Voice of America from Houston and Washington. We now have 7 minutes 50 seconds until ignition for powered descent for touchdown onto the surface of the moon. Everything is looking good in the spacecraft systems. There has been
10.7 nautical miles, 7 minutes 37 seconds from ignition.
10 nautical miles above the surface. When they
Eagle,
get down
Houston,
to,
the AGS initialization looked good to us, over.
When they get down to 8, they will be about 15 kilometers above the surface, approaching the beginning of powered descent. The constant firing of that big descent thrusting engine. They're coming around the east side of the moon into full daylight. They're in that crescent part of the moon as you look at it from here on Earth. The touchdown spot will be right there in the very edge of darkness on the inside of the crescent as you look up at it from Earth. Waiting for more communication, 6 minutes and 48 seconds until ignition of powered descent. So far, it seems we have a good lock on that antenna. You'll hear.
Checks indicate 50,000 foot barrel air, and our visual altitude checks steadying out at about 53,000.
Roger, copy.
That was Neil Armstrong. That's the first time we've heard from him in quite a while here. The man destined to be the first man on the moon. If all continues to go well. Most of the communication has been from.
And Houston, we got a 500 alarm. Early in the program, went to descent 1, proceeded on it, and we're back at auto again. Over.
That was all,
Roger. We saw that, Buzz. Thank you much, Al.
I say again, okay, that wasn't an alarm. That was a code. Okay.
Roger, we saw that.
That was Buzz Aldrin saying that they got an alarm light. It looked like it sounded as though he said descent alarm, although there seems
Eagle,
to be
Houston,
no concern.
Eagle, Houston, we recommend you yaw 10 right. Will help us on the high gain signal strength. Over.
5 minutes and 30 seconds until ignition for powered descent until we reach that 40 degree east position of, over the lunar equator. They're still moving at something like 4,000 kilometers per hour, descending. They've got to break down to zero, the first part.
5 minutes to ignition. Gene Kranz getting a go, no-go for descent.
Flight director checking with all of the... Flight...
Houston, if you read your go for
power
descent, over.
There it is. There's the go for power descent. Gene Kranz checking with all the men at their consoles.
gain again. Would you please, we recommend yaw right 10 degrees and reacquire.
I've lost the high gain antenna on the lunar module again. Yeah,
this
message.
Columbia, you're go for PDI, and they recommend you yaw right 10 degrees and try the high gain again.
Lost lock on the high gain antenna again by yawing the spacecraft 10 degrees.
It
should lock in again.
This
message being relayed by Mike Collins.
Eagle
up
Houston,
there in
we
Columbia.
Read you now. You're go for PDI. Over.
It's locked in again.
Roger, understand.
That was.
Stabilization control circuit breakers.
That's Aldrin. Locked in again. Good communications again.
Safety gimbal AC closed. Safety gimbal AC closed.
This is a checklist being read off by Aldrin to Armstrong.
And override. Off.
3 minutes, 45 seconds till.
Gimbal enable. Tape scale 25. Eagle Houston, your alignment is going, Yags. On my mark, 330 till ignition.
Roger.
Mark, 330 till ignition.
That was Charlie Duke.
Roger, copy.
Giving them a go. 3:30 till ignition for PDI.
Balance couple on.
More of the checklist.
Carry throttle minimum.
That's Aldrin reading it off.
Throttle auto.
To Neil Armstrong.
Stop button reset. Stop button.
Stop button reset.
Abort, abort stage reset.
Abort stage reset.
At control, three up in the mode control.
One of the mode controls.
Okay, let's pull this set. Ags is reading 400 plus 1.
Ags reading 400 plus 1, Aldrin says.
Stand by for Armstrong.
He's cutting out slightly there. Intermittence in the voice transmission.
Buzz Aldrin reading off the checklist there to Neil Armstrong.
We're trying to interpret as we can understand what Aldrin is saying. There is some cutting out.
Verb 77?
It sounded like verb 77 into the computer. We're going to use a program in the computer called P63. You may hear that mentioned. During the braking phase, the first phase of this descent is called the braking. 1 minute, 56 seconds until the beginning of powered descent. During the braking phase, there will be three parts: braking, approach, and then final landing phase. Apollo 11 Eagle, go for powered descent for touchdown on the moon. 1 minute and 35 seconds from now, that braking part of the maneuver will begin.
If you'd like to try high gain, pitch 212, yaw 37, over.
Instructions from the ground for better communications in the high gain steerable antenna.
Roger, I think I've got you on high gain now.
That improved the signal somewhat, too. This is one of the dish antennas mounted on what?
Coming up on 1 minute to ignition.
Mounted on top of the lunar module.
Can I get any angles, though?
Right.
Set them in to use them before we yaw around. Roger. Pitch 212, yaw plus 37.
Instructions from the ground on aligning the antenna. You hear Aldrin
copy.
Asking. He just said copy. He got the instructions. 40 seconds.
Arm descent.
Power descent about to begin.
Number?
30 seconds from now. Coming up, passing the twin craters, passing Secchi, about to move over a crater complex
current
called Lubbock.
Altitude about 46,000 feet, continuing to descend.
Down below that 50,000 foot mark, below 15 meters now already. 7 seconds until ignition should begin. 3, 2, 1, ignition of power descent.
One. Ignition 10%.
Ignition 10%. They have begun thrusting. They're right over Mount Maryland. 40 degrees east. Lost the antenna again. Within 1 minute, they will move a considerable distance here from 40 degrees east. Over to 36 degrees east. They will move 4 degrees across the moon in 1 minute. An instruction from the ground telling them to go to one of the Omni antennas. We're listening. They've lost lock on the high gain antenna, but they are still in communication. 1 minute, now 36 degrees east.
Blue.
Passing St. Teresa.
See if they got me now. I got good signal strength in blue.
Yeah, you should have me now, Houston.
Eagle, we got you now. It's looking good, over.
Communication back in. Over Lonesome Mesa, approaching a...
Hey, Eagle, that looks good.
About 35 degrees.
Houston, everything's looking good here, over.
35 degrees east, moving down across what's called Bear Mountain, Masculine A, just to the south.
Eagle Houston, after yaw around, angled S-band pitch, minus 9er, yaw, plus 1-8.
Instructions from the ground again. A minute and a half, a minute and 40 seconds into this burn.
Copy.
Continuing to descend. Up to full throttle at this point. Just about 2 minutes of this 11 minutes, 30 second descent. That was Aldrin reporting. Two minutes into this burn, about 10 minutes now until touchdown.
Stay on. Altitude will go high.
Passing Censorinus. Continuing to descend, continuing to break down.
2 minutes, 20 seconds, everything looking good. We show altitude about 47,000 feet.
Yeah.
About 9.5 minutes now until touchdown. This burn, 2 minutes and 30 seconds, still full thrust. They will turn and rotate the windows up in about another 20 seconds.
I'm getting a little fluctuation in the AB voltage now.
Roger.
Coming across Censorinus.
Stand by. Looking good to us. You're still looking good. It's coming up 3 minutes.
Across Censorinus J, coming up on 3 minutes. Boot Hill below now. The main Masculine crater just to the north. This point should be rotating the windows up, 8 minutes and 50 seconds, until expected touchdown.
Our position check downrange to it to be a little off.
Roger, copy.
Armstrong just made a remark about it looks like downrange is a little long. He's looking out his LPD, landing point designator. I think we've lost high gain lock again. The landing radar should be coming into its own now, beginning to give them a better reading on speed, velocity, altitude, and movement. We cannot read the signal. It's very, very fuzzy at this point. That, of course, means that the high-gain antenna with the Earth has lost lock. Looks like it's come back now.
I think it's going to drop.
There we are. We can hear some of the communication. We heard one remark from Armstrong that the landing point designator, looking through his window and a mark on his window, it looks like he's a little long.
Eagle, Houston, you're a go to continue at 4 minutes.
Roger, you're a go to continue power descent. You're a go to continue power descent.
Roger.
Altitude 40,000.
40,000 feet.
Houston, we got data dropouts. You're still looking good.
40,000 feet, 1,200 meters, 12 kilometers above the surface now, continuing to descend, continuing to throttle down. Data dropout, meaning that the signal was interrupted. The landing radar update came at this point at 12,000 meters. A new reading from the radar system into the guidance and control mechanism, a semi-automatic descent. Neil Armstrong.
Good lock on.
That's Aldrin. We have good lock on with the radar.
Altitude lights out.
Altitude light out, that report.
LH is minus 2,900.
Roger, we copy.
At the Earth, right out our front window. Houston, you're looking at our Delta H.
That's affirmative.
Program alarm.
Looking good to us, over.
Program alarm from Neil Armstrong.
1202.
That's Neil.
Bravo 2.
That's Neil.
Good radar data. Altitude now 33,500 feet.
About 10,000 meters above the surface now. Throttling down in just another few minutes, another few seconds. 6 minutes, 15 seconds to expected
pressure. This is a reading on the 1202 program alarm.
That was Neil.
Roger, we got you. We're going at alarm.
Roger, 330.
6 plus 2, 5, throttle down.
They've just passed across Sidewinder Rill.
Copy. 6 plus 2, 5.
Passed Maskelyne G, descending, going across Bay Ridge.
27,000 feet.
Same alarm, and it appears to come up when we have a 1668 up.
Roger, copy.
27,000 feet, 8,000 meters above the surface, beginning to throttle down now.
Houston, we'll monitor your Delta A.
Beautifully.
This is a continuation of the braking
phase.
Delta
A should look good now.
Roger, Delta H is looking good to us.
Throttle down. Time.
Roger, copy, throttle down.
Throttle down. Better than the simulator.
Roger.
Aldrin says it's better than the simulator, meaning it's even more accurate according to...
Ice and things look real close.
5 minutes to touchdown, approximately. This is a rough estimate because there is some pilot discretion in part of this.
Altitude now 21,000 feet, still looking very good.
About 7,000 meters above the surface, slowing down continually here.
Velocity down now to 1,200 feet per second.
You're looking great to us, Eagle.
About 400 meters per second speed now.
Okay, I'm still on flu, so we may tend to lose as we gradually pitch over. Let me try auto again now, see what happens.
Roger.
Getting close to that pitch-over point.
Okay, looks like it's holding.
Roger, we got good data.
Coming up very soon on what is called high gate. That should occur...
7 minutes, 30 seconds into the burn.
About 4 minutes till touchdown.
Altitude 16,300 feet.
About 6,000 meters above the surface now.
Eagle, Houston, it's descent 2, fuel to monitor, over.
About 4 minutes till touchdown.
4-2.
Altitude 13,005. Velocity 9,100 feet per second.
Made it switch over time, please, Houston.
They should be able
Roger,
to see the horizon
by.
Now.
Looking great at 8 minutes.
Correction on that velocity now reading 760 feet per second.
It's the P-64.
Good. Roger.
You're hearing Charlie Duke in Mission Control giving quick
Final
information.
Says we're go. Altitude 9,200 feet.
830, you're looking great.
Coming up on the end of the braking phase, about to go through high gate at 2,000
feet. Descent rate 129 feet per second.
We copy.
Descending 129 feet per second, about 3 minutes until touchdown. They should be able to see the horizon out the windows now, turning over so that...
Eagle, you're looking great. Coming up 9 minutes.
So that the
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Into the approach phase. That means
altitude
the end of the
5,200 feet.
Past the 2,000-meter mark. They've gone through
manual
what is called high gate.
Manual attitude good.
Roger, copy.
Manual attitude looks good, says
altitude
Armstrong.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Go for landing, says the Earth.
I understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet. Stop alarm.
3,000 feet comes the...
1201.
1201.
Roger. 1201 alarm. We're go. Same type. We're go.
About to come...
2,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Here into comes... the ag. 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Here comes the low gate, the landing phase, ending the approach
Eagle
phase.
Eagle looking great. Here go.
3,000 feet, 1,000 meters above the surface.
Altitude 1,600. 1,400 feet, still looking very good.
From on board, they gave us a...
Roger, 1202, we copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees, 750, coming down to 23.
They can now see the landing site.
700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees.
700 feet.
100 feet, down at 19.
About 150 meters.
540 feet down at 30, down at 15.
150 meters above the surface. The rate of descent, landing mode.
Take 400 feet down at 9.
400 feet down at 9.
Forward.
You're hearing Aldrin.
150 feet down at 4.
250 feet.
30 and a half down.
That's Aldrin reporting status.
They're pegged on horizontal velocity. Standard speed down 3.5. 47 forward.
100 meters above the lunar surface.
On 1 minute. 1.5 down.
About another minute until touchdown.
70.
We've gone through low gate now.
50 down at 2.5.
50 feet
forward. Altitude, velocity, light.
About 20 meters above the surface.
220 feet.
Very
slow. Forward.
Vertical descent now, straight up and down.
11 forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet. 4.5 down. 5.5 down.
About half a minute.
6.5 down. 5.5 down. 9 forward.
Armstrong using, descending
good.
Very, very slowly.
20 feet.
A vertical descent at this point.
100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward. 5%.
Another reading says 100 feet.
875 feet. That is looking good, down a half.
That's about 25 meters from the surface. I beg your pardon.
60 seconds. Lights on.
That's Buzz Aldrin.
Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. That's 30 feet down 2.5. Picking up some dust.
Picking up some dust.
30 feet, 2.5 down.
10 meters.
Shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward. Drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
Moving to the right a little.
Forward. Just.
Should get it any moment.
Contact light?
Contact light.
Okay, engine stop.
Engine stop.
ATA at a descent. Post control, both auto, descent, engine command override off.
Touchdown.
Engine arm off. 413 is in.
Eagle is
down,
on the moon.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
The Eagle has landed, came the word from Neil Armstrong.
Thank you.
You're looking good here.
Apollo 11, the Eagle has landed on the moon.
After Armand, take care of the
You're hearing Armstrong and Aldrin go through engineering checkoffs. There's an important 3 minutes now of... systems to be aligned
very
to make sure
touchdown.
They don't have to take right off again. A very smooth touchdown, says Neil, says Buzz Aldrin. First words of Neil Armstrong,
that's
Eagle has landed. Buzz Aldrin said a very smooth touchdown. And there's a very busy 3 minutes.
It looks like we're bending the exercise enough.
Roger, Eagle, and you are stay for T1. Over. Eagle, you are stay for T1.
You are stay for
Roger.
T1. Everything looks good.
And we
good.
Am stay for T1.
Roger, and we see you venting the ox.
Roger.
Neil used almost an extra minute of his fuel there in making that landing. He burned for about 12 minutes and 40 seconds, give or take a second or two there. And making that touchdown. He was very, very cautious and careful. Heard one remark there, radar circuit breaker. The astronauts are now beginning to go through all of that post-landing checkout list. And... eventually, we should get a much better lock on signals when they get around to that point in their post-landing checklist. In fact, I just thought that the...
copy, 9:43.
Roger, we have it.
Yes, sir, I read Columbia on the high gate.
There's a call from
Roger,
Mike.
Roger, we read you fly by Columbia. He has landed Tranquility Base. Eagle is at Tranquility. Over.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
Well, good show.
Mike Collins says, I heard the whole thing.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. There's that word again. You know, we agree. Go for T1, meaning that...
The next major stay, no stay, will be for the T2 event. That is at 21 minutes, 26 seconds after initiation of powered descent.
Columbia went up, telemetry command reset to reacquire on the high gain.
Copy out.
This go for the moment allows the spacecraft to stay on the moon for just a few minutes until they have a better status on all the systems. The next go will be for another event called T2, which is 21 minutes, 26 seconds, as you heard Doug Ward say there, after beginning of powered descent. Now that means that...
We have an unofficial time for that touchdown of 102 hours, 45 minutes, 42 seconds, and we will update that.
The second go, we should get...
Eagle Houston, you loaded R2 wrong. We want 10254.
The Earth trackers could see the astronauts putting a wrong bit of information into the computer. They just asked them to correct it. And you heard coming back from the spacecraft, from Armstrong or Aldrin, one word, Roger, meaning we're doing it.
Yep.
We would repeat at this point, Eagle, the lunar module, has landed on the surface of the moon. Astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are inside the craft now, busily performing the post-landing checklist part of their mission, going through all of the things which have to be turned off the check
before...
That's
horizontal 5515.2. That's affirmative.
Going through the things which must be performed before it's safe to stay.
We're now less than 4 minutes from our next stay, no stay. The next stay will be for one complete revolution of the command module.
Now the important events are to watch where the command module is in relationship to this takeoff point on the surface of the moon, because if they have to get off in a hurry, they have to know where the command module is in order to effect a rendezvous.
Ags to ping the line, over.
Ags
to... Again.
That's Aldrin.
Mike and Ags to ping the line, over. Roger, we're standing by for it.
He's talking about the Ags and Pings alignment. We'll hear him give some instructions to the Earth in a moment, some confirmation. That was Buzz Aldrin, lunar module pilot, the systems engineer, Neil Armstrong actually with his hands on the controls during the touchdown.
One of the first things that Armstrong and Aldrin will do after getting their next stay, no stay, will be to remove their helmet and gloves.
Helmet quantity, up drop. Eagle Houston, your stay for T2, over.
There's the goal.
Correction, you're... Roger, stay for T2. We thank you. Roger, sir.
That means they can stay for at least 2 hours now on the surface of the moon. Everything looks good, at least for one revolution of the command module as it goes around
behind the moon. That stay for another 2 minutes plus. The next stay, no stay, will be for one revolution.
I beg your pardon. I was one T mark ahead of myself there. That, as you just heard Doug Ward report, that stay was for another 2 minutes as the command module continues to go by and get farther away overhead. All of these stay and no stay decisions are being made according to the proximity of the two spacecraft. The mother craft still in orbit above the moon, moving at 4,000 kilometers an hour, 111 kilometers above the surface. All of the timed events at this point are relative to where that mother spacecraft is, because that's what's needed to get home. In the Mission Control Center...
We don't expect much in the way of a visual description of the landing area from the crew until after we've gotten through these critical stay-no-stay periods and have gotten the stay to remain on the lunar surface for at least one command and service module revolution.
In the Mission Control Center, Gene Kranz takes out a cigarette and lights it. The flight director sits back down in his seat and again looks at his console. And throughout the mission control...
All spacecraft systems continue to look very good to us here on the ground.
Throughout the control room...
Quality base, Houston, we recommend you exit P-12, over.
An instruction to the lunar module, to Eagle. In the mission control room, all of the flight officers, all of the engineers are at their consoles watching data displays coming back from onboard the spacecraft, both the lunar module and the command ship in orbit. The lunar module, designated Eagle, is on the surface of the moon. It touched down in about 12 minutes and 40 seconds of powered descent from 15 kilometers above the surface. We have not received exact confirmation of the landing spot. It is known to be within the expected footpad or designated area in the Sea of Tranquility. In the Sea of Tranquility, just less than a half degree above the lunar equator at 24 degrees east. We will, of course, have more refined information on where that spot, that actual touchdown occurred later from Mission Control and possibly from the astronauts themselves. We should be passing that second T mark or time base mark for takeoff if necessary. Charlie Duke.
Hey,
that's Armstrong calling in.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto targeting was taking us right into a football field sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about a one or two crater diameters around it. And it required us gun and P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Roger, we copy. It was beautiful from here. Tranquility, over.
I'll repeat all of that for you. That is a very interesting comment and report by Neil Armstrong. The reason it took so long...
I'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the zero phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area, looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over.
Roger, copy.
That was Buzz Aldrin.
Sounds good to us, Tranquility. We'll let you press on through the simulated countdown, and we'll talk to you later. Over.
That was...
Okay, this 16G is just like the airplane.
Right, Tranquility. Be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world. Over.
I'm sure that must be...
There are two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Roger.
Two smiling faces up here, and Mike Collins pipes in, and don't forget one in the command module. And lots of smiling faces all over the world.
That last remark from Mike Collins at an altitude of 60 miles. The comments on the landing, on the manual takeover, came from Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin followed that with a description of the lunar surface and the rocks and boulders that they are able to see out the window of the LEM.
Tranquility, Houston, we have you pitched up about 4.5 degrees, over.
That's confirmed by our local observation.
Roger.
Neil Armstrong's remark, let me repeat it for you now, if I may. The reason that it took so long to effect the touchdown, almost an extra minute, was because
now,
he said...
Thanks for putting me on relay, Houston. I was missing all the action.
Roger, we'll enable Miss Finn relay.
Mike is asking for a relay of communication so he can be in on the action, so that he can hear all of the communication from the LEM direct to the Earth.
I just got it, I think.
Right, Columbia, this is Houston. Say something. They ought to be able to hear you. Over.
Getting those communications modes all checked out and working there.
Roger, Tranquility Base. It sure sounded great from up here. You guys did a fantastic job.
Collins, speaking to the...
Thank you. Just keep that orbiting base ready for us up there now.
Just keep that orbiting base up there ready for us, huh? And Mike...
That request from Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong says, just keep that orbiting base ready for us up there. Mike says, will do. All right, let me see if I can repeat those comments now. The reason he was a minute late was because he saw a football field-sized crater.
Flight Director Gene Kranz is going around the
room. West 10327, AOS 10413, over.
Thank you.
A large crater about the size of a football field or soccer field, meaning about 100 meters in diameter, was right in the touchdown flight path. And it was full of large boulders and rocks, and there were quite a few large boulders and rocks throughout the area. And he had to initiate what is called Program 66, which is a mode of pilot takeover, to maneuver around over the rock field to find a decent area. That was Neil Armstrong's way of phrasing how he had to move the spacecraft laterally in order to find a smooth spot to set down. Buzz Aldrin said that...
We've just gotten a report from the telecom here in Mission Control that LEM systems look good after that landing. We're about 26 minutes now from loss of signal from the command module.
Buzz Aldrin reported every variety of shape and angularity of rock imaginable outside the window. Also, they said...
Tranquility Base, Houston, all your consumables are solid. You're looking good in every respect. We copy the dips, venting. Everything is copacetic. Over.
Also, we heard from the astronauts on the moon.
Thank you, Houston.
The 1/6 gravity there was just like in airplanes. It felt quite comfortable. You heard Charlie Duke say there are a lot of smiling faces here in Mission Control and all over the world. Neil Armstrong piped in that there are two smiling faces up here too, and Mike Collins then came on the air with, and don't forget one in the command module also. Then Armstrong came back with, just keep that orbiting base ready up there, Mike. And Mike said, will do.